What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's gone. Preston steps away beautifully. Fires in the end zone. Oh, it's intercepted in the end zone. Picked off by Saberstill, who's now looking to take it out. And Saberstill is going to go down. The third turnover of the first half for Detroit. And this one in the end zone.
Wow. That was huge. And it was so big, and I don't know what you guys were thinking. I was thinking, when he returned it, I'm going to talk about that, because I think they would have had a chance to score had he just needed it in the end zone before the end of the half. But they were getting the ball to start the second half, and it's like, we're up 31-21. We're going to have a chance to make it a three-score game in the second half. Interception. Ball was late. Ball wasn't well thrown, but it doesn't matter. He undercut it beautifully. He has been quite the player this year. And when we were really wondering about corner and would it be, you know, him on the outside, he's fine on the outside. I know that ultimately they want to play him on the inside, but he is fine on the outside, 100%. There's a lot on this good list, and I'm just going down it here. So let's continue. So the offense, Jaden, the mistakes by Detroit, they're all crucial in this game. I mean, if you're plus three or plus two in this game, it's probably coming down to the final possession one way or the other, which still would have been a good position for our team. I mentioned all the players on offense that I thought played well. Thought John Allen in particular as a pass rusher was outstanding. Dorrance Armstrong as a pass rusher was outstanding. It would be hard to grade anybody well on Saturday night against the run. That was a difficult watch at times against the run. But I did think that they got good pass rush, and I thought it may have been one of John Allen's better games since he came back. He was really difficult to deal with as a pass rusher. Mike Sanders still obviously on the list of defensive players that played well. The two interceptions, the not getting fooled on the Jameson Williams reverse throw was huge in the game. Hold on, just looking down my list here. You know, they're awesome on kick coverage. If I were the opposing team and that ball made it to the end zone, there's no chance I would field it. In fact, I'd let it bounce in the field. Well, no, because then it's a 20-yard line. But if that ball gets kicked into the end zone, I don't care if it's by a half yard. That ball is getting downed and it's out at the 30. Washington's kick coverage against everybody but Kevontae Turpin has been outstanding all year, and they gain yards on that, man. I don't know what the net yardage gain for Washington on kick coverage. We do know that Washington fielded and kicked within the field of play and covered more kicks than anybody in the league. It's what they've wanted to do. You know, where much of the league has said, no, we're okay with the other team starting at the 30, Washington was not. They were strategically, aligned in their vision, as we've heard many times, about what they wanted to do with special teams, and they've got some really good kick coverage guys. Fourth down aggression, but wasn't just aggressive for the sake of being aggressive. It was strategic. It wasn't reckless. There wasn't one fourth down that I didn't think they should go for. And when he kicked the field goal up 45-31 on fourth and a yard, I'm like, that's the right decision. Make it a 17-point game. There's no benefit to getting stopped here. That's the only chance Detroit has. I thought they were good. They were 4-for-5 if you count the 12 men on the field. And the only one they got stopped on was taking the ball out of Jaden's hands on the fourth down in the first quarter. All right, list of bad from the game. There's not much, really, but there is some on defense for sure. Taking the ball out of Jaden's hands on fourth. Do we know, Denton? It seems to me the play was Mariota is going to fake like he's, you know, quarterback sneaking it, and then he's going to turn and he's going to throw or pitch to Jaden. And Brian Robinson Jr. got in the way. Is that the prevailing thought on what that play was? Has Dan Quinn spoken about that play?
I don't know that he's spoken about it, but the prevailing thought is that he was going to pitch it back to Jaden, who then was going to have De'Ami Brown streaking down the sideline wide open.
Got it. Well, it didn't work because number 8 got in the way. Apparently, he didn't know. That was not a good play, and you know, that was their second drive. They got stopped on the fourth, and that was their first drive, excuse me. They get stopped on that drive, and we talked about how, you know, you can't give up possessions. Like the team that I talked about, plus one in the red zone, plus one turnover margin. You got to be plus in the fourth down decisions. You know, you wanted to get Detroit to a couple of fourth downs. They don't get to a lot of fourth downs like Washington did this year. But they were, they missed their first one. They made their last four. It's a lesson for this group moving forward. Don't get too tricky. You got number 5 on fourth, and anything less than 3 or 4, it's even money that he's going to convert. On the things that I didn't like list, I'll tell you what, man. They got to figure out a way. I'm not the guy that comes in and yells about replay one way or the other a lot. But you cannot have a face mask potentially that isn't a face mask potentially turn the game around. And I'm sorry, but on the 3rd and 2 where Montgomery gets tackled and Fowler's called for the face mask, it's clearly not a face mask. It's really hard on subjective, you know, calls, on judgment things. That's not judgment. That's not subjective. He either grabbed the face mask or he didn't. Now, if he grabbed it and let go of it, we're not going to get into a debate and replay as to whether or not he had it long enough, if he twisted it long enough, whatever. We're just going to use replay to say, yeah, we messed up on that. We were surprised by the jerk that, you know, Montgomery gave. We thought it was the face mask. It wasn't. That penalty gets overturned. Where are we now? I mean, we've got the use of all of this technology. It's clearly not a face mask. That needs to be a play that coaches can challenge. And I would say this, the only way it gets overturned is if there's absolutely no contact with the face mask, which there wasn't. If there's a quick, you know, grab, but it's a scrape, then they can't overturn the call. That's fine. But if there's no actual contact between hand and face mask, the call gets overturned. That was a massive call that gave them a first down. That was David Montgomery, by the way. Again, I don't know why he was in the game to start the game or to start the third quarter. They got bailed out of having Montgomery in that game instead of a Jahmyr Gibbs to start the second half. They get us, like, think about this, Denton. What are they doing? They're down 31-21 and they finally get a stop. They got a stop in part because Jaden, you know, on a read option keeper got stopped for -2. That may have been the one decision he may not have made correctly in the read option game. And they get off the field and now, okay, they're down 31-21. All we got to do is go down and score. We're back in this game. And Jahmyr Gibbs isn't on the field to start the second half? That makes no sense. They really just, there must have been an arrogance to the, or an overconfidence to the way they felt about this football game. Because that make, when some dude averages 10.7 yards per carry in the first half and nearly rushes for 100 yards and a half, and he's my best player, down 10 in a playoff game, he's going to be on the field when we get the ball to start the second half. He wasn't. The face mask was a terrible, terrible call, and it was hurtful because they took it, and then, by the way, they put Gibbs into the game, and they went down and scored. He scored on an 8-yard run on 2nd and goal to make it 31-28. On the list of things that I didn't like, look, they got 5 turnovers. They were opportunistic as hell on defense. Actually, it's one of the better results for the defense in a long time. But you can't overlook how they were absolutely dismantled and gashed time and time again in the running game. Detroit rushed for 200 yards on 23 carries. Yeah, I know that 61 of them were on the reverse. That still counts, by the way. He was untouched on the reverse. Jahmyr Gibbs was 14 for 105. In the first half, he was 9 for 96. You know, David Montgomery was the least of the two options, or the better option for us versus Gibbs. He still rushed for 4 yards per carry in the game. They gave up in the first half 309 yards, and they turned the ball over 3 times. Like, so they're giving up plays and points with the turnovers, and again, two of them are forced in the first half, no doubt. The Quan Martin thing is, hello, you got to catch it. Goff will put one up for grabs, and you got to catch it, and he did that. And I'm not discounting the possibility that some of the coverage fooled Goff on that, not at all. But you can't... Washington, I think, we'll have to check this. If they were to go on and win the Super Bowl, I think they would be, from a DVOA standpoint, the lowest-ranked defensive team to ever win a Super Bowl. I think there have been low-ranked teams to participate in a Super Bowl, but not to win one. Detroit, it was too easy for them until they decided to get tricky and throw the ball in third and one, or, you know, have their receiver throw it, or it just... Amon-Ra St. Brown was basically uncheckable. Sam Laporta was uncatchable. The dude number 11, Khalif Raymond, was a problem for them. And Jahmyr Gibbs is a pass catcher and runner. There's no in that game, once I realized it was going to be a track meet and we were going to need to score on every possession, 26 would not have been off the field unless he was hyperventilating because he was so exhausted. The dude touched the ball 20 times and had 175 yards. Of offense. So defensively, you say on one hand, really nice job being opportunistic. You had forced turnovers. You played smart. You confused Goff a little bit defensively. You got good pass rush pressure. All of those things are positive. You gave ultimately in this game, and there's some garbage yards at the end, I'll concede that, but you gave up 521 yards, 30 first downs, and 31 points. And you needed basically at least 3 of those turnovers, if not the 4th, to win the game. Detroit's prolific offensively. Don't get me wrong. That was always going to be a problem in terms of you were never going to slow them down. You were just going to need them to help you out, and that's what happened. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. There are a lot of other things that I want to mention about the game, but you can start lining it up on the phone lines right now. And this is not just a reaction to anything from the game on Saturday night. This is also, how are you feeling? We are in the NFC Championship game for the first time in 33 years. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Do want to tell you about Window Nation. Window Nation has a great deal going on between now and the end of the month. With heating costs soaring and your heating probably running full tilt with the cold weather we have, it's time to replace those old drafty windows with new energy efficient windows from Window Nation. Go to windownation.com right now. You'll save big, 50% off all window styles, plus zero interest and no payments for 2 years. So by the time you start paying for the windows in the year 2027, you'll be paying half price and no interest will have been charged. Window Nation's products are built to protect your home with top quality insulation and seals and often outperform the expensive guys. So you'll save money on utility bills year round. Plus, Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty. They can be installed in a day or less. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you can trust Window Nation. The sale ends January 31st. Don't miss out on your chance to save 50% off all window styles, plus zero interest and zero payments for 2 years. Call them now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Mention my name. They'll come out and give you a free in-home estimate.